Recently, I was looking for more doc films to show, and I went through the list of those on my computer, and I found again the old Joseph Campbell series, The Power of Myth, and checked out a bit of it and disagreed with nearly everything I was hearing him say. And I realized that Satyoga is the power of mythlessness. And that faith can be defined as the refusal to buy into any myth, to be faithful to the truth, which will never submit to a mythology. And the basic sadhana of a satyogi is to discover what myths you are still living in, embedded in. Because every myth provides not only a false identity, but an inherent jouissance. That is an escape from the truth of the real. It is that power to stand alone without myth that confers sovereignty, freedom, power, truth, love. It is only after one has fallen into the belief of the myth of the ego that then one needs a counter myth to make up for the negativities that are inherent to the ego's mythology. And one goes on a hero's journey myth to get out of the coward's myth. And so what we are doing when we meditate is we are tracing back our consciousness from one level of myth to another, and to see how mythologies have evolved. Because once you are in one myth, you require another myth in order to rebalance the false extremism that one myth will force one into. And then there's a dialectical process of a thesis, an antithetical myth, and then a myth that tries to synthesize those, but that will have in itself the need to be balanced by another antithesis, etc. So the whole dialectical process of thought is based on myth. And this is because mind itself is a myth. This is very difficult to grok once one is already embedded in the mythology that there is a mind. But the mind is not real. It is simply a self-fulfilling mythology. There is no need for consciousness to secrete thoughts. And those secretions are completely without substance or significance. And all of postmodern philosophy has been tracing back the inherent contours and textures and implications of mind, culminating in the work of people like De Man and Derrida and the other deconstructionists who have proven without a doubt that there is no such thing as a stable referent to any signifier. Words are inherently meaningless. And so we quickly try to cover up that fallaciousness of words by defining them in terms of other words that we assume, oh, this one has some reality. But that one needs to be then defined in terms of another and another. And we're trying to escape the fact that no word has any meaning at all, starting with the word I. But once we are trapped in the belief that there is an I, then we need to give that I some meaning. And so we develop a mind in order to be able to embellish the I thought with the clothing of the illusion of meaningfulness. And so meaning is also a myth. Now, most people don't trace back that far to even know that, and they live in secondary and tertiary levels of mythology. But once you believe in the ego myth that is meaningful, then that ego must deal with its own lack of reality by translating that into another myth, and that is the myth of loneliness. Every ego is inherently lonely. It's lonely because there is no one like you, because you don't exist. But you need to find someone else who's covering up that lack of existence, who will collude to believe, okay, I'll accept that your ego exists and you accept that mine exists. And then it doesn't matter whether we love each other or hate each other or have some tragicomic relation or whatever, but the myth of loneliness can now be played out and soothed. But of course it can never go away, because the ego of the other is not a stable referent either. And at some point the other, who was the answer to the loneliness, becomes irrelevant and can no longer take away that loneliness. And in order for the otherness to stick as an answer to the problem of loneliness, which isn't a real problem but a myth, we have to create the myth of gender. Because the other has to be of another gender that completes the gender that one is, which is the media naranja, the half that's looking for its other half. And the mythology requires there to be a missing other to complete one. And that missing other then becomes the object of desire. And that creates its own tertiary mythology. But there is no such thing as gender. And all of postmodern sexology and the psychology of what gender really is recognizes that it has nothing to do with the anatomy of the body at all. And it is a set of mythological traits that are looking for their counter traits in order to reach a balance of a psychological state of stability that is also mythological and cannot be stabilized. Because gender has no stable referent. And therefore it can never be answered, what does it mean to be a man or a woman? And there can only be then, out of the mythology of gender, an envy of those who seem to have it together and to know what their gender really is. But they don't. Because there's no such thing as manhood or womanhood. Those are cultural complexes that are developed out of a collective mythological system in order to control you and determine what clothes you will buy and what cosmetic surgery you'll have and where you'll take your vacations, and your entire attitude and structure of your reality is controlled by that mythology. And then in order to make that mythology operational, they need the mythology of power. How do you get the power to capture that other when you inherently don't have anything that anybody would want? Because you aren't anybody in the first place, and you're making all of this up as you go along. But you're taking it in from the messages of the media and the movies and the internet, and say, okay, I'll be like that one, I'll imitate that one. And your entire life is a series of imitations of people who are themselves imitations of other imitations. And so the mythology of power then requires the mythology of money as a medium of exchange in order to capture an other and to be able to offer something of value that would hold that capture in place and would enable one to have a stable territory. And so the myth of territoriality is required. And the myth of money then means submitting to the collective system of mythologies in order to be part of that great machine that keeps all of those who are clueless under the control of those who control the money system, which is another giant mythology, as we've seen. And because it's based on power, therefore it inherently requires war. And thus, the hero's myth requires you to sacrifice yourself for some other myth that will prove your heroism. And you have to be willing to die for some other mythological belief, whether it's that of a nation or a religious group, or it's something else that will cause you to destroy all ethical principles and justify it on the basis of defending some ideal that is a myth. And in the name of those myths, whether it's God or Zionism or Christ or Marx or whatever it is, people are willing to kill each other and destroy the earth because they require a mythology to maintain the belief that they exist as separate beings. And once it is recognized that that entire system is a lie, then one is shattered and re-traumatized and collapses back into that black hole which we have developed these mythologies in order to escape. But there is no escape through mythology. Escape comes only through truth. And therefore the satyogi is one who will not live in a lie and who will accept only the truth of what is. And that requires silence. It requires being without beliefs and without even the use of an illusory mind, secreting signifiers that have no meaning and pretending that you have become somebody because you have certain thoughts and the certain activities and a certain amount of money, etc., etc., which are just one house of cards built upon another, none of them having any significance. Sound and fury signifying nothing, as Shakespeare put it. But it signifies the death of the earth. It signifies the destruction of the world. But ultimately, even the world is a myth. And so we must not fall into the myth of some tragic loss. We must stand beyond all myths and cry no tears for non-existent deaths, but find the real that is undying and unborn, and realize that you are that. Settle for nothing less than the ultimate reality, because nothing else is. And if there is the need to play the game of dealing with systems of mythology, do it with eyes wide open, not wide shut, and not falling into belief in those mythologies, or the anxieties that come once one has accepted them as having some reality. The only freedom from anxiety and dread and sorrow and depression and all of the pathologies is freedom from the mythology. And to build counter-mythologies in order to overcome certain mythologies that have some specific negative effects will just cause further weakness and dependence on other mythologies that will not be able to withstand the stresses of a field of mythologies that are all demanding you to buy into their lies. And that's all we have, is a market of lies in which you are demanded to submit to the mythology of the other and support it with your life energy. But even that is a myth. And one must not create a narrative of liberating oneself heroically from the demands of the other or even the engram of one's own need, because all of that too is a myth and comes into effect only because one has accepted that there is an I, and the I will then have need and loneliness and gender and require territory and power, etc., etc. But once it has been realized that all of this is based on the myth of language and meaning, then with a single poof, all of that is dissolved. And there is no need to struggle to overcome one's low self-esteem or one's paranoia or whatever are the pathologies of the ego that will never be changed except perhaps by being modified into other mythologies that will produce different kinds of jouissance and require different symptoms of suffering and different modalities of expenditure of energy on behalf of others whom one will inherently hate. And it is simply a thievery of one's own being by falling into these mythologies and running away from the truth of the ultimate real that has no pain and no gain and no loss. And thus no boss. Realize the freedom. That cannot be put into words or myths or narratives of any kind. And abide as that. There is no other meaning to Satyoga. Sat is the real, free of all myths. The yogi is the manifestation of Sat. There are not two. There's not even one. use this day to observe what mythologies you have fallen into, whether it's that of power, gender, loneliness, and what you do to overcome those or soothe those. Do you pet your cat because you will soothe your loneliness? Do you fill yourself with food? Do you count your money in your bank account? What do you do? What mythology soothes the anxiety of the ego? And deal with it at its root, not by creating a new symptom to try to overcome its lack. Find out what freedom really is, and be that. Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste.